Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, brother. I'm getting ready to start now. I'm sure I'm getting ready to start. Hold on just a minute. It's 8 o'clock. Hold on.
All right, all right. Welcome, everyone, to People Power Radio. It's yours truly, the guy, your host with the most, the Tree Shakeup, better known as Baba Wetaffa, father of many nations. All right, all right, all right. Y'all know we're getting ready to start our broadcast tonight, and we hope that each and every one of you are ready to go on higher heights and deeper depths into an understanding into your mind, your soul, and heart. But we aim to please and give you what you're looking for. All right now, all right, all right, all right. I see now our co-host, Niat, has joined us. And we'll be definitely getting with her. Ashe, well, oh, y'all, come on, talk to me. What's going on? We haven't really started yet anyway. We're just giving the folks a few more minutes to get on, and then we'll be getting the show started. What's going on with you?
Oh, trying to stay in for right now because that weather is crazy.
Ooh, that weather, so man, I can't believe that. I know I'm not trying to get out in it tomorrow. I'm supposed to go to court. I ain't going to go down. I'm going to let them people know y'all got the wrong guy this time.
That stuff is bad than heck.
Ooh-wee. I mean, the snowstorm, you talking about snowstorm, this was something for the first time that I've seen in since probably about 5 years ago when that snow actually got frozenly high, about 7 to 8 inches, almost up to your knee if you walked. I'm serious. I'm not just saying it.
Lord.
That stuff, yeah, that stuff was truly, terribly bad. And I mean, when I say bad, it even scares me even when I even pronounce it. Yeah, buddy. Matter of fact, the streets are so damn slick right now. If you get on it, you're going to slide every which way but loose. I imagine they probably had a lot of car wrecks. I didn't get a chance really to look at the news and things because I've been writing a lot of legal briefs and stuff today. I've been real busy. But other than that, I've been just, you know, hanging out. Hello, hello, Beverly. How you doing? Again, bear with us. We're just kicking it right now. But we'll definitely be on air in another about 2 or 3 more minutes, give everybody a little bit of time so we can give an introduction so that everybody can get a feel of where we're coming from. But, of course, we're definitely going to get it done for you and yours and everybody out there. And we hope that you're warm and taking care of yourself because this is the time of day when family needs to be really close. We're going to take a station break right quick. I'm going to play a little bit of Teddy Pendergrass, wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. But when I get back, we will officially join the show. Are you with me, Maya?
Ashe, I'm here.
Ashe, all righty. Y'all just hang on just a minute. We'll be right back. Can you still hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm just trying to see what the, I'm going to turn my microphone is up, huh? Yeah.
Get it to you.
Gotta change it, y'all. Need some help, y'all.
Change
it, change it.
Need some help, y'all.
Let's see if I can help him out. Wake up,
everybody. Wake up,
everybody. Need a little help,
y'all. All right, all right, all right. It's Baba Wetafa, the father of many nations, right here today, better known as the Tree Shaker. All right, that's Teddy Pendergrass telling us all, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed trying to pretend you don't know what's going on, because the powers that be are trying to destroy us as we speak. Bottom line. All right, all right, all right. Thank y'all for joining us tonight. This is again Baba Wetafa right here in Oklahoma City with freezing ice, slick streets. It's cold, and I'm in the house staying warm. And I know a lot of people are too, as well as me and our co-host. She's here today as well. So y'all, let's get this program broadcast right off quick, fast, and popping. All right, y'all. Y'all know I must be feeling pretty real good. I'm right here warm and inside out of the cold, and I'm just hoping that those of you who are unfortunate to be warm, that you have, you're in my prayers, and I hope that you do are able to get into a warm, safe spot for your mental, physical, and emotional well-being. Tonight's broadcast, y'all, it was dedicated to Black History Month. It is a month in which was actually started off by Carter G. Woodson as Negro History Week, then advanced to become Black History Month, recognized, first of all, by Gerald Ford, the president, in 1976. So that being the case, let me make just a few more announcements before I get on to what the show is all about tonight. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about the recurrence of the 13th Amendment. We already had done one show on it, but as we promised to Sister Pam Sam, who's with the African Culture Museum in Ghana, she said she's going to be on with us tomorrow night again. So we told her that we welcome her to come in, and let's finish what we left off on the 13th Amendment about a month ago with her. Saturday night. And we're going to get back onto the topic of, will the true revolutionaries please come forth? That's very important. That's going to be a part two as well. We've also got brothers and sisters want to rededicate that particular topic. So we're going to get back and reacquaint ourselves with that one as well. All right. All right. All right. All right, y'all. Now let's move on with those announcements out of the way. First of all, let me say that I am and I will always be a Pan-Africanist. Okay? I will always love, understand, and appreciate our youth who are our future of tomorrow. They are leaders. We must recognize them and treat them in the manner in which they can to further promote our longstanding historical perspective as Africans in the diaspora. I will always say that they need to be taught about our illustrious African past, about the great pioneers, our culture, and civilization that without us would be nothing at all. This is a fact. Our great ancestors of the yesteryears left us something so profound that we should be proud of as a people, to be able to have grips on, to just say, this is what they left us, as a way to let us know that we needed the training, the dynamics, the importance of knowing that we started off history and would begin it and end it. That is so wonderful. When you think about the African culture, we have to think about the dynamics of African history, the dynamics of African culture, African language, African dialogue, African tradition. These are the various things that we need to start letting people know that we can be proud of and we accept, and we unite ourselves, reconnecting ourselves with our people in the land of the dark-skinned people. People, raise your head up, Black African people, Africans in the diaspora, that's us. Wake up, y'all, because the land is one that belong to you. Your people migrated and were forced out of Africa and migrated and populated other lands, but that was necessary so that others can enjoy the opulent wealth, our ideas and mannerisms and technologies, and look what we did to the world over. You have everything to be proud of, people. Ashe. We must teach our children about their great pioneers, about their great educators,
the great philosophers, the great stargazers, the scientists, the mathematicians, the engineers. Look out, man. Think about that, y'all. You're going to get it like you're supposed to on this show tonight. That's right. And the list goes on and on and on. Yes, our young folks are our legacy, and we must live through them, Ashe. They are our last best hope for the liberation of our people. Ashe, I want to run down just a few short lists of some names of our current and late great ancestral leaders, modern day, those alive, some are dead, but at the same time, physically they're gone, but mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, they will always remain in our hearts, for the great contributions and sacrifices they made cannot be matched by many others. I'm not going to talk lengthy about them per se in the beginning about what they did and what they left behind and how important they were to us, but I do want to recognize a few names so that we can get a better feel of who we're talking about, what they did, and why they should be given the renown and respect, even though some are gone and those who remain with us. And I praise God for giving me that knowledge and wisdom to want to do all of that. Ashe. Now, before I go there, let me say first of all again, I am a Pan-Africanist. A lot of people need to know, understand. Yeah, thank you, Robert. You want to hear it now. Okay. We're definitely going to get you, brother. Stay close to us. And by the way, Brother Rob, you're from Georgia. Thank you for tuning in, my brother. Peace be unto you. But let me get back to what I was saying, y'all. I am a Pan-Africanist. A lot of people say, well, man, what is Pan-Africanist? Aren't they racist? Aren't they no good? I mean, aren't they one-sided? I mean, aren't they doing the same thing the white supremacists are talking about? Wrong. A Pan-Africanist is simply someone who has a desire, a need, and fulfillment of connecting himself with his African brothers and sisters in Africa, connecting them with and having a bridging a gap between the African brothers and sisters in Africa and connecting them with their brothers and sisters in the diaspora, which means a land outside, a migration outside of Africa, meaning showing the importance and need of cooperating our finances, our goals, our social systems and all with our brothers and sisters so that they will know and we know that we are not left behind and that we are all on the same historic tree and that we're being treated in the same manner of disrespect, disloyalty, and any other aspect of our human endeavors that we can think about. Let me say a few more things here, and then we're going to get Sister May out in here and a few more other people in, and we just thank y'all for joining and giving me your patience and staying with me. So, my brothers and sisters, I'm all about changing my world so my world can change around me. And I'm trying to influence and encourage each one of you to let you know, too. Number one, I am diametrically opposed to any kind of group, organization, or people who would hold my people down for the sake of the color of their unique skin pigmentation. And I say that, and I mean business. I am for self-determination. I am for self-autonomy, which means self-governing. I am for my people, bottom line, no compromise. We do not seek to stand on anybody's toes, and we definitely will yellow out and scream if you step on ours. So the whole point is let everybody be who they want to be. Don't hold me back. Don't oppress me. Don't get mad at me. Don't manipulate me because I said I want what is good for my people. And I'm not going to change that idea for anyone, nor am I afraid, and will I be forced to do so. With that, let me give off a few of these names, and then we're definitely going to pass flow to Sister Mayan and some others out here. And we're just going to open the mics up here shortly and let everybody know that our idea is to change your world and your world will change around you. All praise is due to the Supreme Being. All right. With that, I'm going to name off a few noteworthy revolutionaries. That's what I call them. They're all revolutionaries because they were upset with the status quo, felt there was a need to change the racist policies, practices, and procedures in where African Americans were left out in the mainstream of American culture. So let me start off by saying they were trailblazers. They were pioneers who did their thing. I like to say doing their thing because, baby, when you do your thing, it shapes and molds our minds, our realities, our intellect, and our hearts. And I appreciate you great brothers and sisters that I'm getting ready to name. And by the way, y'all, those who I do name, it's just a short list. And for those I can't name because the list is so long, just know that you're definitely in our hearts and that you were definitely intended to be here and be named. But it's just so many of you, I just don't have the time or space to do that. All right. Now, And then when I Google, I want your feedback. Anybody that's interested in doing so, because this is about us. All right, let me start by naming Patrice Lumumba, Franz Fanon, Jomo Kenyatta, Imhotep, who's recognized as the first Jesus on earth, by the way, we'll talk about a little later on, Malcolm X, Sister Mother Harriet Tubman, Fred Hampton, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Clara Luper from Oklahoma City, right here.
That's right,
Oklahoma City. Ralph Ellison from Oklahoma City. We're going to talk about George and Jonathan Jackson, the Revolutionary Brothers, who were killed by the government in Oakland, California, after they were unsatisfied with the conditions of the jail. Brother Jonathan was killed as he went to the jailhouse, the courthouse, in support of his brother, George Jackson, who was, again, murdered by the San Quentin guards there in the San Quentin prison. Some of those y'all know I mentioned and some y'all don't. But at this time, Sister Mayor, give me your idea of what you think so far and what's going on out there with you. Talk to me.
You know, I always look at, you know, history of revolutionaries, you know, across the states and even internationally. My personal opinion is that a lot of people identify with being a revolutionary and they don't even know it. You know what I mean? Until we educate them or tell them about certain revolutionaries that were, you know, right there in the state that they were in, you know, or
Amen.
Right same types of situations that they have went through. So I feel like our people just need to be, you know, introduced to the history of, you know, the revolution and the revolutionaries to really get the feel of what it is like. And it's not, like I said, being a revolutionary changed my entire life. And I say that with great joy because, you know, I really understood what my people went through and understood that their fight is still my fight to this day. So I'll never stop because it's a part of me. I wear my skin color, my melanin, as a representation of them too. You know what I mean? Because we are directly connected to them. So my thing is that educate yourself on people and revolutionaries, activists, all of those that really impacted how we live today and how we have certain freedoms. We're not free yet, but we have certain freedoms that we have here because of them, because they put their life on the line, because they wouldn't deal with the mess that they was giving them then. So it's very important to educate yourself. And then, you know, of course, on broadcast, as far as what we're on now, will the revolutionaries please stand up? You know, come on. Like, you know what I mean? It's nothing stopping you from elevating. It's nothing stopping you from making a difference out here in the community, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter who you are because, you know, we've had a whole lot of different revolutionaries that went through a whole lifestyle change. And it, for the positive, you know what I mean? For the positive. So peace and blessings to everybody on the broadcast. I want y'all to stay strong. I want y'all to stay black. I want y'all to stay empowered because we're out here fighting for you. At the end of the day, if it wasn't any melanated people, I wouldn't be fighting, but I fight for my people and the people that are that identify with me. I got melanin in my skin. I fight for you. You know what I mean?
Yes. So absolutely, sister, you're definitely on point. And when you think about, like you said, the melanin in our systems and all, that was basically what kept us alive, especially being close to the equator as we are as Africans in the Arquipelago. You got to realize the hottest spot of the world is the equator, and that's what basically melanin is what kept us going. That's what kept our hair curly looking. You know, that's the melanin in it to protect you from the sun. Your nose is being spread. It kept you from the hottest sun of the earth. Your skin tone, it kept you burnt like that so you can accept it, the waves and the, you know, the various waves and things that the heat gives off. So you're definitely on point like that. But I want to also say for those of you who are listening in our audience, that we as Africans in the diaspora, listen to what I'm saying, we as Africans in the diaspora, we have a direct connection to our brothers and sisters in the motherland. The land has already been proven is the land of all human birth, recognition, greatness, and intuition. Knowing that, this is why it is important that we as people get back to the framework and the frame of mind in knowing that you are more than a coat rack. You're more than a crackhead. You're more than a gangbanger. You're more than a homeless person. Watch out now. We were only reduced to those terrible realities after we came here to the Western Hemisphere by force from the various filthy slave ships. Now watch this here. Why do you think right today that our great leaders fought so hard, like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, C.Q. Torre, Rosa Parks, and others like them here in the Western Hemisphere? I'm not talking about going back to Africa. But let me tell y'all, listen carefully, y'all. The same thing that we are experiencing right now today here in America, our brothers and sisters are experiencing in Africa right today. As a matter of fact, in Africa, the most profound and most richest place on the planet, and guess what? Our people are living in slums over there, in ghettos, don't even have food to eat, don't even have a place to live, and not even given proper medical supplies, really not? So what is that telling everybody today how we're living here in America then? The same stuff that the European powers and authority forced upon us in Africa, well, they saw how effective it was, and that's why they brought us here to America to give an industrialization as a spot that is never, ever seen before. So when you talk about great pioneers, let's talk about Malcolm for a minute. That's one of my mentors. Let's talk about the great things he did when he was with the Nation of Islam. Now, a lot of people already know, and we're not going to hold any punches, we know that he was with the Nation of Islam for about 12 years, and I actually separated later on because of the fallout between he, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam. Now, but getting beyond that, to be fair, that's why I had to say that. I don't want y'all to think he was a saint, he was a holy, then thou, because neither one of us is. But I wanted to say this, y'all. Where did Malcolm go after that? I'm going to pick a few of us out, and we're going to talk about Fred Hampton, all these things. I've done my studies and histories on all of them. Talk about Huey P. Newton. I'm talking about the pioneers right here in Oklahoma who used the wonderful traditional connections to basically lay a foundation for us as a people to build and to ignite that fire that was lit up in us but just didn't know how to redefine itself. Okay? So that's what we want to deal with. And we'll take y'all's call here in about 15 minutes. The phone number is 563-999-3789. So y'all just call us in. If you got your comments, we're definitely going to put you on. We're doing a little new thing on the show here. We want to start again. I told y'all we wanted y'all to be a part of it. Simply because you can't be on the panel doesn't mean that we can't hear your voice every now and then. I can't do it every show like this. But in times, I also want to let you know, therefore, hey, come out here. This is your radio show, Sister Mayadna. We're going to host it for you. We're going to let you know that, hey, nothing you say is right or wrong. Even if I disagree with you, the point is not to try and belittle you or shortcut you, but the point is to show you why I think the way I do. It would not be fair for me or anybody else to disagree with you and in reality when we really agree with you. So what I'm saying is that if you say something I might not like or whatever, I might question you on it. That doesn't mean I don't think you're legitimate, but simply what it means is that maybe I can help you further advance your understanding, because if I don't know something and I feel you can help me, then get ready, because I'm definitely going to ask for your help. All right. So now, Sister Mayette, before I go there with Malcolm, give me some of the ideas. Tell me what else on your mind right quick.
I've been out here working.
Oh, so I know that.
I've seen a lot of stuff within this week that kind of shook me a little bit. You know, not scared shook, but just every now and then, you know, when we don't address white supremacy or we don't address white whatever they call their rights or whatever. I'm an American, I'll admit. you know, I feel like that should be addressed too, because, you know, for a revolutionary, it's not something you could turn off. You know, it's not something that you could just set on the side and say, oh, it's not happening. You know, being a revolutionary or identifying with a revolutionary is keeping your eyes open all the time. So even around you, pay attention to your surroundings and to, you know, people in your neighborhood, people that you interact with or see when you're doing your everyday travels, because these cases and these things that happen out here in the community where they try to, you know, arrest us, wrongfully arrest us, beat us, you know, any of those lines, you know, of acts of terror, you know, acts of terror against our people, you know, happen during times where you're just commuting or you're just going to the store. I was doing some work out here for my second job. This man was hanging out the window threatening teenagers at a fast food restaurant. And I was like, you know, I don't want to have to turn revolutionary on you, but I always got that on anyway. But, you know, those are things where we have to step up and really be out there for our people, you know, because we never know when something is going to happen and if something is going to happen. So that's my thing. You know, if you identify as a Pan-Africanist and you're open and you call yourself a revolutionary, you have to be on alert and you have to pay attention to protect you and yours. And sometimes it's going to be somebody else's too. So that's one thing. You know, our ancestors are, you know, revolutionaries that came before us. They had that same type of mindset of really paying attention to things around them. And that's something you have to carry with you, even if you don't identify as a revolutionary or a Pan-Africanist. You have to pay attention to everything that's going on. We want to try protect our people before these horrific acts of terror happen.
Ashe, bro. So, yeah, go ahead. I'm talking about, you know, I'm just caught. You got me chilled. I'm not liking it.
I was like,
you know?
That's been on my mind because, you know, we're going through this pandemic. We're going through where a lot of people are getting let off because, you know, they're still getting let off, even though they can't really mandate it at this point. But they're still getting let go from their jobs and, you know, stuff like that is happening and shortages of food. Like this, those crazy acts of terror. Within the community from other races, and you know, it's sad to see it happen. But you know, when it comes to, you know, empowering our people and doing all those things to keep them on the defensive side, you know, we also have to teach the offensive side. Get you a firearm, you know, get you some sort of protection plan.
You better get ready.
You know, if someone comes to your home and it's unexpectedly. You know what I mean? You have to have those type of plans in action, because when you stand up for something, there's always going to be somebody that hates that, somebody that's going to disagree, and somebody going to try to challenge you and your beliefs. So that could be with the acts of terror, it could be with a threat, it could be with anything like that. You have to be on guard. You know, at the same time, but that don't mean not live your life, but that means just pay attention to everything. So
I just want
everybody to know that the life of a revolutionary is beautiful, and I'm not going to lie, you know, about it at all, but it also has its points where you have to be on guard. You can't get off of guard, you know what I mean? And it's all the stuff is done out of love, you know, out of love for the people on my end, and also other revolutionaries that do this to want to wake up our people and show them what the climate is like out here for being an African American or being an African and being of African descent. You know, it's not easy for us, even if we're not a revolutionary. It's still tough for us because white supremacy and all those things meet you at your front door, meet you at your job, meet you, you know, when you're just commuting to, you know, another destination, and when you're traveling, these things meet you right there because that is the climate of America. They don't care about it. So,
You know what? May I, just like what you're saying, let me interject this right quick.
I love being a revolutionary myself. Just ask me the question, why do I like this?
Why do you like being a revolutionary?
Well, first of all, it allows me to establish my independence. It gives me that sense of camaraderie with others who are fed up with the status quo and who are fed up with being left out of America's mainstream of opportunities. Therefore, I am now given a better approach to my surrounding and my environment to share with others like-minded like myself and you and others so that we can now set back, wipe the veil and the mask of destruction, the mask of half-truth, lies, and deceit. We can pull that veil away from my eyes and clearly see what our true destination here is in America. My point, and again, what I like about the fact is, just like the independent of the people who are running society today, why should they continue to run what schools I go to, my children go to? Why should they continue to be able to tell me what food I'm going to eat or what medicine is going to be approved by the Food and Drug Administration? Why should they be able to tell me how high or low my rent is going to be or how I pay for a house I might be buying? Look at how they control every aspect of our life. And as a matter of fact, too, because they feel we are so unruly, so unjust, and so unqualified, guess what they do now? They also have the police patrols patrolling our communities. Why? Because they feel that if we get unruly, we got somebody to put you in line because y'all can't manage your own affairs. That's the only reason they're there. But you have to realize what you were saying, old man, is when you say, now watch this here, everybody. Listen. Thank you. Hey, John. All right. Thank you, man. Listen to this, y'all. When you talk about being a revolutionary, now watch this. When you talk about doing a revolutionary stand, the motivations, the lack of procrastination, the act of developing your mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being, your oppressor gets mad at you. This is why our leaders stood up. They fought, they fight, they bled, and died for the cause. But watch this here. I'll show you. But watch this one. Not only did they fought, bleed, and die for the cause, but the same thing they did back then, it's what we're doing now. So what I'm trying to tell y'all, that the realities are basically the same. They're just in the new modern day and time, and it's going to always be there until we get our sellout informants and Sambos out of seats of authority, and we take back the strengths, the determinations, and our power and will to survive independently. But now the people that I just spoke about are going to have a problem with that. Why? Because they love the status quo, because master has given them a foot up. Just like they did, as Malcolm said, on the slave plantation. You had the house nigga and the field nigga. Watch it now. Hold on. Don't start with me, y'all. I'm trying not to go there. You had the house nigga and the field nigga, as you say. So what was the distinction here? The distinction was the house nigga got the crumbs that fell off the table of master. Okay? Well, the field Negro, they fed or ate the ass of the hogs. They ate salt, sour corn, stale green beans and this stuff. Y'all don't hear me. Now, come on, man. So what that did to our watch it now. So what that did with our revolutionary fighters, like Malcolm and others, who, by the way, Malcolm's father was found on a railroad track killed by some Ku Klux Klanmen. His mother was very profound, educated herself. But again, it was too much for her, so it drove her mentally, insane. But let me tell y'all, so what I'm trying to tell y'all, if these happened way back in the 40s and 50s, and here it is, we had 2021 still going on, y'all don't hear me. As long as these same policies, practices, and racist procedures in place, we're going nowhere fast. So let me take a break right quick, and we're going to come back and get with Sister Mayotte and a few others here. I want to play a little Whitney Houston about a children being our future, but watch this here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what our great pioneers and trailblazers did for us and why I think we should mimic their cause. I'll be right back. This is Baba Wetafa. This is my girl, Whitney Houston.
Yeah. That is my beautiful sister, the late, great Whitney Houston. I was always inspired by that song. Again, y'all, this is Baba Wee Topper with my co-host, Miyatri, right here in Oklahoma City. We're doing our thing, and we're doing the music, and as well as giving you the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we feel you need to know, because in your learning and understanding, I get further learning and understanding in my own right. Thank you all for tuning in with us. And by the way, our normal other host, as you hear with us, Sister Miko and Brother James, they have other things. They're on another show. They had previous engagements. So we welcome them back this coming Saturday when we talk about real revolutionaries. Will you please stand up? I think that's very important because it is through the revolution that we're going to have our freedom, justice, and equality. Let me say now again, y'all, when we think of the word black power, we think about the Afros. We think about the associations of people standing out and marching in the street and declaring their greatness, their nationality, and their power and strength to be independent and strong, self-determination, one mind, one love, one heart. And I get that. It's very important. But as I was beginning to say, and then I'm going to give you the floor, Mia. As I was beginning to say before I left off and took a station break, you have to realize that you have informants and other agents who are actively working for state, city, and federal governments that is coming in into trying to put a crux in on us establishing our independence. Why? Because when you establish your independence, you threaten the very fiber that has kept America in the economic superiority that it is today. Why? Because the same people we're talking about freeing the masses from, the African people who have done all the work for them, when you talk about an economic machine that's geared toward your independence and owning properties of your own and in trust-like, well, what you're saying to the established work machine is that, hey, man, they're threatening our livelihood. And as y'all know, whenever you threaten the livelihood of someone, they're going to do basically about anything to make sure it stays in place, nothing short of killing a person if it's necessary. I want all of us to – I said this. I want y'all to understand. The revolution is nothing easy. There are going to be casualties of war. Okay?
They're
going to be – I'll share. Let's keep it real. There are going to be people who are going to be homeless. There are going to be people who lose their mind in the process. But I don't know, and listen carefully, y'all, I don't know one revolution today that wasn't served where someone didn't lose a life or some property or something in that regard. Because when you come, just like the riot in Tulsa, 1921, y'all, come on, man, listen to me. Those brothers and sisters were doing, you talk to me. Those brothers and sisters in Tulsa were doing some of the same stuff we're talking about now. And that wicked, no good white supremacist government said, oh, no, we're going to make all you guys deputies. Y'all go and destroy that independent right there in Greenwood and 40 acres and of opulence and independence and land grabs and highways and banks and things and paper companies. Oh, no, man, we need to. Oh, no, no, no. If we allow that to go on. And now this is in 1921. I want y'all to think about that. Can y'all imagine? Are y'all kidding me?
Right there, 2021, them Black and Tough would have been running Oklahoma. The heck are you talking about?
Shade.
So that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. It is very revolutionary for us to stand up and that we liberate our people who are the masses that's being destroyed, who are being given half-truths, who are being denied their independence, who are being denied the proper education, the proper training, the proper jobs, the proper food, the proper medicine. Let's admit this, y'all. But it's not by accident. If Black Wall Street, let me tell you, can I give y'all something else too? Black Wall Street, that is where the name in New York, the big Wall Street got their name from. People don't know that. That's right. Black Wall Street, come on now. I'm trying to check. They don't want that history out there. Come on, man. Stop it. I'm telling you, them people don't want that knowledge out there because your people are great beyond measure. That's why I said rather than just being Black History Month, that we remember all the great accolades and great contributions and great pyramids and great knowledge and wisdoms and oh, man, and creations and the first to be mummifying our remains, huh? The first open heart surgery, huh? The first to discover the lawnmower, the hair curlers. Come on. Now start with me, man. And all the people using all your stuff today. Come on now. Then people would be nothing without y'all. Man, I'm trying not to get too emotional here. So y'all help me out. Somebody come in and disrupt me so I can do something else. Come on, man. Talk to me.
It's a lot of things that we've done over, you know, in history that really, you know, they have taken from us. You know, that they mm-hmm. have stole from us and rebranded it, you know, for,
yes.
you know, to seem like that they did it. You know, so that's
yes.
one thing that that's why I try to press really Black history all around, you know, not just revolutionary Black
yes.
history, but all Black history, because, you know, we can only keep spreading and telling our story because they'll keep, you know, wiping
it
away,
mm-hmm.
you know, rewriting it, you know, and rebranding
yes.
it. We are responsible
yes.
for keeping that on and keep that going on in our, you know, in our communities and in our interactions with people. We have to really press that because, you know, they only really want us to understand their history and to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, we did this. We, you know, we did all these things or whatever. You know, if they did make some type of breakthrough, it was because they experimented on us. You know, So either way, you know, we have to tell them, we have to tell our people, you know, about our history and really educate them and really get them to understand how important it is for us to keep this going on, even outside of Black History Month, because we're making Black
mm-hmm.
history every month. There's not a month we have to
man.
There's not a category or a career field. There's not anywhere that we have not touched, and they want it
Amen.
To look like we don't do anything, that we don't have any history. That's what they would want to, so that we can follow their history and their teachings and their way. So that's a big thing. That's a big reason why I became a Pan-Africanist, because
come
I saw
on,
the
come
need
on.
For us to spread our culture around here and to really
yes.
Be proud of who we are and to stand up for who we are and to protect our own. You know what
oh.
I mean? Because they don't have our best interest at heart in anything.
Oh, man. They've proven that, sister. Come on now. Since the inception of bringing us almost 50 slave ships, and then when we got here changing our name, our culture, our history, our God, our religion, and everything about us, how in the hell is that my friend? How did he intend for me to know about my cultural past? No.
Mm.
He didn't want me to learn about that, because by me coming over here, he knew that he would be subjected to the powerful kings and queens and the knowledges and understandings that we bring with us. So what he did is that when he watered us down throughout the centuries and generations, he took our mindset from us. He kept us ignorant, crazy, and stupid. So when the mother and the father had the baby didn't have the same knowledge that the mother and father came over with. So when the mother and father died out, they only knew English. And they were taught what John, Ron, Heine, and June, and boom, boom, do. But now watch this here. They also were taught the slave passages of the Bible to be docile, to be irresponsible, to don't disobey the master. But then if I look like you, talk back to them. Pitting the mom against the young against the old dad against the brother, sister against mama. That's why we have so destruction and so much wickedness going on in our ranks and file today in the black race. And watch this here. Not only that, like what you said, I say, but now watch this here. The plot to destroy the African-American community was actually hatched in a lot of ways. I'm talking about on the FBI side by J. Edgar Hoover. I'm sure everybody heard about the former FBI director. And he came with a program called counterintelligence program. It's called COINTELPRO. But it's short for counterintelligence program. So in other words, I'm going to counter whatever you Negroes think that y'all going to do to win your independence, your freedom, justice, and equality. Oh, no, 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 no. I can't allow that to happen. Because if I allow that to happen, y'all going to be running the United States. Come on, man. Not everybody, the CIA and everybody was in their position of authority. Huh? Not only the Central Intelligence Agency. I say, come on, keep going. You ain't disrupting me, Kip. I say it. You need to say it, I say it when you need to say it. Because that's a fact. Not only that, but you had the national American agencies and military agencies and all, they all had their own COINTELPRO programs. Because when you're talking about independence and rebuilding a community from grounds up, you are a threat to militarily, you're a threat economically, you're a threat socially. So all those inner programs intertwine together and share information with one another to make sure that every move we made, that we didn't get out of line. And guess what they did too? They infiltrated each one of our powerful black organizations. That's right, they infiltrated the Nation of Islam. They infiltrated United Slaves. They infiltrated the Black Panther. Yes, ma'am. You better believe they're not going to let you just go ahead and ain't nobody going to come out and tell them something about what y'all planning to go do that night after. That was the whole plan. And throughout the whole, I say. And that's the same thing that got my brother Malcolm X slaughtered in the Audubon Ballroom in 1965. You understand? That's what got him because, like I said, Ashe and Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and others like that as well have died. Negro Edwards. It wasn't just a racist policy and practice of some quiet person on the street doing something. All of those were orchestrated from government agencies on down. Ashe. I recognize.
Can I interject, brother? Yeah, and all of that, you know. J. Edgar Hoover started with the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, and he was looking for the next black messiah. You know what I'm saying? That's Garvey's middle name. And so I wanted to share with you, you know, our pledge to the RBG flag, where we say, I commit my body, my mind, and my spirit to the protection, defense, and security of the red, black, and green. I dedicate my life to the redemption of Mother Africa and to the liberation of her scattered black children. I accept for myself and my descendants the teachings of universal African nationalism and promise that our children will be installed with the purpose and knowledge of themselves as African people in order that the cause of our struggle will neither falter nor fail until all black people are free and united under one God, one aim, one destiny. So you say, what is black power? You know, black power is our own self-government. You know what I'm saying? Self-government and self-government. Because without government, we still begging the enemy to give us something. And so when I talk about government, I mean economics, infrastructure, and military to protect it. So if we have a military without the government, then they see you as terrorists. But if you connected to a government, then you know what I'm saying? You're a patriot. Basically, you know, we talk about infrastructure. Infrastructure is doomed to fail if we don't have government, you know, and if you have economics without government, then it's individual and the people all over don't get nothing out of it. So we got to get back onto this government structure. We've been able to govern ourselves. And then we have like the black caucus and stuff like that who up there like puppets. I remember when they kidnapped President Aristide in 2007, you know, and the Black Caucus tried to put a blind eye to what was going on, you know. So we can't continue to trust them to do it for us. You know, we done held every office. We done built this country. We done built every country. So we got to start looking into ourselves and depend on ourselves for government and governance. Or else we going to stay a slave. You know, as long as we keep begging him and borrowing from him, then he going to stay superior to us. So we got to look within ourselves to get what we want. And that's what black power is. Like Huey P. Newton, he said, power is the ability to take phenomenon and make it work in the desired manner. You know, so that's what we have to do. Now, we are a phenomenon. You know what I mean? We need to take that and make it work in a desired manner. They say we spend a crazy amount of money just on hair, you know, shoes, you know what I mean, and stuff like that every year. But we don't have no schools. We don't have no airplanes, no jetliners. You know, Garvey was trying to build for boats, but that was back then. Right now, we need to have a soul plane, you know, and everything. Everything that our people, we need to provide it for ourselves. We can't look, you know what I'm saying? We need African solutions for African problems. We can't be looking for nobody else to help us because they're not. It's not in their best interest. So Black Power is us looking into our own black selves and seeing the gods that's inside of us and raising ourselves in this condition.
Hey, man, I say. Come on, man, I know you got something to say to that. All that bread he gave us.
You know, I mean, he's totally right. You know, we depend way too much on them to do stuff for us, which we shouldn't. You know, we're like, most people be like, you know, well, Uncle Sam paying my bills and he's signing my check and he doing all of this. They're not doing that for you. They're not really truly wanting to help you. You're just contributing to what they got. You know, we're not really pouring into our communities and really investing in our black nation, what we could be buying black, you know, from black businesses. We could be doing that and investing in ourselves. You know, that's why, you know, it's very, very important. You know, that's why it's important to invest in our black businesses, invest in our black psychiatrists, psychologists, to our black doctors, you know, really, really invest in us, you know, because it's very essential for us to grow. We're going to have some type of revenue. We're going to have some type of military front on that end also. We need men and women trained, you know, in protecting, you know, their community and us. You know, we need gun clubs. We need a lot of things, you know, to build our nation. So every piece is important, but we need to invest in it. And once we turn away from all this stuff that they say if you buy these new pair of J's, you know what I mean? You said it'd be cool. If you buy this new No, that's not where our money needs to go. That's not where our attention needs to be at. It needs to be on preserving and growing us as black people. And we can simply do that by buying black, by investing, you know, black, and really, really pushing that narrative. You know what I mean? And we're going to need a government. We're going to need those things. And we're going to need to invest in our people that are geared for the vision. You know what I mean? I'm not saying every black politician is geared that way, because that's not true. But
no, you know who they are.
We need to invest in the ones that are, that have our best interests at heart when they make these decisions or vote or, you know, put their name on anything. We need those people to support those people more than ever, because those are going to be the ones that we put in place when we actually establish a nation within a nation.
Ashe. Oh, man. You know what? Now, see, y'all are so on point. And this is why now, listen to me carefully. This is why I'm saying now that each one of us on this broadcast, hello, Cynthia. Thank you. Yeah, we appreciate you. She says she thanked us for lighting her up. She didn't know she went and got her husband. Now he's listening with her. Thank you so much, sister. But let me say this to y'all, that the whole idea of J. Edgar Hoover, as the brother just spoke about, was to prevent a black messiah from arising from among the ranks. Now, when Brother Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, died, the biggest threat that the J. Edgar Hoover felt was Malcolm X, because with the Nation of Islam, it was basically the biggest black independent organization in America. And then, like I said, when you had the Black Panthers come about, well, there were too many powerful groups, and the whole idea of J. Edgar Hoover, listen, y'all, this is what I'm trying to tell y'all about y'all. Y'all are doing some of the same exact revolutionary stuff that the FBI targeted those brothers and sisters back then on. So what I'm trying to tell y'all now, get ready, because you are already red flagged and target to be watched out for, all right? bottom line, because you are seen as a militant. All right? When I watch this here, how can you get mad at me for being seen as a militant when if you say military, the first four letters in military is military, and that's what militant means. Hello, sir. Next question. It's not that you don't worry about me being a militant. The point is that I'm not in your military. That's what the difference is, man. I'm tired of what's going on. And you figured if I have my independence, my mindset, my emotional stability, my economic and social independence, and my military, like the brother just said a while ago, I a legitimate government. What can you say? But dang, man, they legitimate. Ain't nothing we can say about it. They're not militants anymore. The whole idea is to prevent us, as the brother just said, from becoming, having the next Messiah rising from among our ranks. But it can be done, y'all, because now the seeds of doubt, even though they have been sown, are being planted into the back of our mind and slowly digressing and leaving us. All right? The whole idea to provide, listen to that, to prevent the ranks of a black Messiah. Now, are y'all ready for this one? Sister, you represent one of the greatest young men at 21 years old that I am so honored to even have to know to be expressing his name, Brother Fred Hampton. You ready for this one? At 21 years old, that brother led the Chicago branch of the Black Panther Party. He was assassinated with my brother Mark Clark and his brothers. Let me tell y'all, don't hear me. Now watch this one here. Them people are so scared. Them people, the police are so scared and the FBI was scared of them that they had assassinated their brother in their sleep. Now, come on, man. They weren't going to run up on them straight up, head up, because they knew them brother was always armed and ready for the fight and the struggle. Come on, don't start it with me. Y'all know I know, man. What I'm trying to tell y'all, this brother was bringing in ranks. He was uniting the gangsters. He was uniting the gangs. He was uniting the people that were hungry. Huh? His policy planning and practices and the media was always in his face. They said, oh, no, man. We got to quieten this up because he's being too effective at 21 years old. Oh, no, man. This guy got too much firepower.
Okay.
So at the same time, what this brother was doing when he was with the Black Panther, he was feeding family, talking about revolutionary tactics, talking about standing up, educating your own kids, the breakfasts they were serving and feeding the community, the medical procedures and things. Y'all, come on, man. And out of all places, watch this here. This is why Chicago is so violently out of whack today, because while he was there, he was quelling all of that. He was quelling it all. So once again, he had to be gotten out of the way so they can continue with the status quo. But watch this here. I keep trying to remind everybody that Fred Hampton, one of my most brilliant followers of people that I admire, he in turn, just like Brother Huey P. Newton, those brothers were on the front line. This is what this program's about, y'all. Them brothers on the front, they weren't in the background being cowardly and being scared to move. But watch this here. But they still had informants going back and telling Massa everything them brothers were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
The police, the FBI, and the government knew what they were going to do before they got the boots on the ground. That's why they were always ready to disrupt any militant group that threatened the status quo of white America. Black power. Black power. Our movement is a resistance to white supremacy. And our oppressors know this. He sees that we are independent. He sees that we're strong. He sees that we're waking up. Why do you think he's giving us AIDS? Why do you think he's giving us a pandemic? Why do you think when we start talking about reparations, all these other things? Come on, man. Everybody can be given their reparations but us. What is that telling you? They rely on us. If they gave us a financial hands up, they're finished as a society. Come on. No, we're not getting any reparations from those people. I'll show you. So this is what I'm trying to tell y'all. We have to get up and remind ourselves that like the Denmark Vesey in the early 1820s, brought here, commandeered the ship, killed all slave captains and all, went to court. You know what the judge told him? Yeah, well, hey, y'all, he right. Y'all got to let him go back home. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is no situation is insurmountable to us if we have the courage, the strength, tenacity to bring the forefront to our doorsteps. Your comments, I'm listening.
Oh, shame. I did want to say something, you know, as far as like our history wise, like I said, I told y'all I'm big on that. Mm-hmm. Knowing these stories, you know, knowing the stories of our great leaders, when I listen to them or look at them or read about them, you know, a part of me identifies with that. And I think that's one thing that revolutionaries that are just now realizing, like, hey, or identify with being a revolutionary can really, really get some knowledge off of these stories of, you know, the great pioneers of the revolution, you know, get a sense of how they operated, how, you know, how their story turned out. And it really is an eye-opener because, you know, we do have, you know, people that are constantly watching us that go and say, you know, go say things and report things, you know,
come
and
on.
That's why I was like, pay attention to your surroundings and things that go on because, you know, you could be watched. More than likely you are if you identify as a revolutionary.
Yes.
And it will give you a sense of what it's like, you know what I mean, and to understand what they went through and the way things ended up being because, you know, we have those people that don't want us to liberate our people, that want to keep us in this slave state of mind. Really, we have the right, you know, we have the abilities to free ourselves, but really to free the mind is one thing. You know, they don't want us to liberate our people and change their mindset and change the dynamic and change the narrative that they've put out.
Wow.
Because once we did that and we liberated our people and in their, you know, in their minds, it's a wrap.
Wow.
It's a wrap because that TV bullcrap is not going to fly.
Wow.
The music that y'all put out here, the things that y'all do, you know what I mean? It's really going to change. Because now, you know, we have the ability to change the media, change our projection out here, to change our communities, to change our outcome of our children, our women, and our men, and to empower our families. You know, they put out these narratives of, oh, well, y'all not finna be nothing, or this is all you good for, and all this stuff like that out there, you know, and it's absolutely not true. And I feel like once we take the blinders off of our people, they will see what we mean by when we say Black Power, you know, and as an entirety, and what our ancestors meant when they said Black Power, you know, not, I wouldn't say watered down, because nowadays when some people say Black Power, they really don't mean it, and they definitely don't understand what that means.
No,
so,
it's all catchy for
you. They say something to say it, and it's like, nah, man, when you live your life revolutionary, you'll understand how deep that goes. You know what I mean?
Real.
The depth of power, the depth of Black success, you know what I mean? And Black love, like, you know what I mean? You'll understand those in a different way, and the way our ancestors and ones before us, our revolutionaries, really what they really meant behind that. So that's my thing, you know. Be careful with people that say they love the people but don't love the people. You know what I mean? I'm just gonna say that. That's a call to action. Because when our people need us, they need us. We don't need all this celebration stuff. We don't need all of that. We need to get down to business. And that's where we're at right now. We need to get down to business, and we need to be for real about our moves and about liberating our people. Because it's not getting better. You know, they're still pumping out the same images they've been doing for the last 50, 60 years of us and who we are. It's time to change that. It's time, you know, force that narrative out of existence. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's my take.
Oh, hey, come on, brother. I know you're on the line. You got, I know you've been quiet. I know you're
thinking, you know, what a revolution is and always been in the hands of the youth. That's what Huey P. Newton said. The revolution is in the hands of the youth. And so you were talking about Chairman Fred Hampton. You know, they got an FBI file on him back to when he was 14 years old.
Oh,
and he was
man.
The junior president for the NAACP then, and he organized 1,000 men.
That's right.
And so you know, and you think about Mumia Abu-Jamal was 14 years old when he joined the Black Panther Party. So, you know,
before
we got to start looking to our youth more. We sending them to the enemy to mold them and send them, you know what I mean? And so our kids is all into these video games and trying to live a white supremacist life. So we got a lot of black people trying to live like white supremacists right now.
I
see.
You see what you just said? And they also using Hollywood to do the same thing, glorifying, slapping our women down, shooting each other up, and doing crack cocaine, robbing houses. In all the music you hear, you know, I'll shoot that fool down. I told that in. If he keep messing me, blah, 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 blah. Come on, man, glorifying. And then he using people like Snoop Dogg and people like that there to glorify because everybody, he's always on TV and different people. Okay, Dre, all them people, come on, man. That's about Hollywood. The Jews are keeping us divided and conquered. And once again, as always throughout history, they always use a black from among our ranks to keep us divided and conquered, y'all. You know, and when I think about, like I said, great revolutionaries, like we just mentioned, and some we haven't even mentioned, I talk about, let's not forget Sister Maya Angelou, the great, renowned poet. Look at what she's gone through to be able to share with us that brilliant mind of hers with her poetry. Let's talk about Langston Hughes, who was here in his poetry, patriotic state. Think about all these great people. Man, it's so many of y'all that we can't even begin to name them all. I talk about Clara Luper, who in Oklahoma, a trailblazer. Watch this here, who single-handedly, manly, dismantled the white supremacist government here in the United States in Oklahoma. That's right. A woman did it, not a man. Hell, Lord, I can say it, and don't mind, give me a bullhorn. I'll proudly say it again. She took 13 youth down to the Catch drugstore. You know what she told them white folks down there? Look here. Y'all going to let her sit down at this counter. We going to eat. If you don't like it, keep trying to spit on us and all. Is it throw paper at us? But within 3 days, she dismantled a whole lot of racism in our parks, our theaters, and our movie houses and everything else.
I say.
Yes, the fact remains. And watch this here. We have the oldest sit-in movement right here in Oklahoma throughout the whole United States. But what I'm trying to say to this, y'all, is that was great. But we cannot continue in the system as which is being given to us because the white supremacist system is not designed for us to get ahead. We have to separate from it and imbibe our own knowledge and quit getting it to the people freely, and they're coming up, and we're not. They're using our kids, the great scientific measures. Our kids, and why do you think they have the science in schools and stuff? They're patting, they're making money off of it. They're just trying to, oh, it's your science class today. Bobby, where'd you come up? Oh, you came up with a radio that talks about turning flips. Oh, we better use that one. Come on, Susie, what's yours? Oh, the girl comes with her and she turns, jumps up to the ceiling in a moon ship. Oh, we better take that one too. There's science projects and things are for y'all. Our kids don't learn anything in these education systems that's controlled by the white supremacists. How in the hell are you going to tell me to accept somebody to follow their methods and control and the manner in which they do things, and yet they come telling me they don't want me to be a human being in their society? What the hell I want to listen to them for? We have to get out of that Eurocentric state of mind, like the brother just said. We got to come back to an Afrocentric state of mind, y'all. Compare the two. I'm going to do a show within probably 2 weeks on this. The Afrocentric mind versus the Eurocentric mind, the mindset. Our sisters and things today think that they got to use bleaching cream to be pretty. Press their hair to be pretty. I know some men, you're not going to change that. Your prettiness and unity is, your beauty is a natural thing. Natural, your braids, your macro, however you want to do it. That stuff ain't doing them a frying our scalps and things, y'all. Hell, them people know it.
Poison.
They know it. Come on, go ahead. I know you. Yeah.
I'm like, that stuff is poisonous. Like, I've been,
come on.
I've been natural for over maybe like 12, 13 years. So
I'll show you.
I just made, I, I had made the decision to not put any perm stuff in my head or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, studies have shown where, you know, perms that they advertise to us all the time, you know, messes with our body and messes with our hormones.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
you know, it starts cancer cells in our body. You know, it's a lot of poison and stuff that they promote for us to make our hair more European or quote-unquote, to their expectations or to make it acceptable. And it's like, I mean, you don't like what comes out of, this is what comes out of my hair. This called, my
right.
new growth is curly. It's wavy. It's nappy. If you don't like it, you just don't like it. You know what I mean? But I'm not finna, you know, subject myself to extra stuff that I don't need to be putting in my hair. And that's why I'd be like, you know, go natural, because really, honestly, that stuff is chemicals. It's poison, you know,
sure.
to you. And
don't
try
know
out your beautiful hair either, because I'm like, you ain't going to have none if you do
that's
that.
Right.
Honestly, they're not, it's not meant for our hair like that. It takes away our natural texture and our natural beauty that we have. And it's embraced that. We embrace that over there in our, you know, in the homeland, but here it's, you know, they want us to be just like them, and we can't,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Be yourself.
Hey, I see. But see, Mary, I see what you just said. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you come over here to the Western Hemisphere, you have to realize, once again, that you were told that anything about you was ugly, stinky, nasty, murky, dirty. So when we were trained by proxy in the slave plantations in the master's headquarters, when we were released under the 13th Amendment, so-called, to the United States Constitution, which we're going to talk about tomorrow, that prepared us to accept whatever society threw at us, because now you had more than 4 million black folks saying, hey, y'all can no longer be forced to stay on the slave plantation. But a lot of them were so in love with master that a lot of them still stayed there. Watch it now. A lot of them still stayed there. So those who did migrate away from the slave plantation, watch this. Master used the ones that stayed there to go out and draw those who walked away back. Susie, remember how we used to do it on the farm? Come on back. Master, he told me he's going to do us better if we come. Okay, here I come. Then, watch it now. So then those who didn't decide to go back to master's headquarters, you were on the street and threatened. Let me see your name tag. Let me see your badge. How I know you free? How I know you didn't steal? You look like that guy that stole Mama Susie's purse down around the corner. Master, that wasn't me. Yes, it is. Come on, you going to prison. Y'all, I'm trying to tell y'all that we, the slave patrols, the police patrols, the Jim Crow laws, yes, they had them in the North and South. Listen now. Those things, watch it now. They identified and gave us the personalities that we have today. And it's unfortunately enough, you, me, and the brother on the line, Diamond, we were able, and others like us, to break free from that thorough brainwashing. We were thoroughly brainwashed. That's why you have certain brothers and sisters today will look at you like you crazy. Man, I ain't going to go against master. Boy, I ain't going to that damn penitentiary. But at the same time, the prison system and all, watch this here. As Michelle Alexander said, the prison system is the new Jim Crow. Because although 13% as only 13% of the population of the United States, we are 42% of the incarcerated. Now, is that not telling y'all something? We're almost three times that of our actual existence. Now, come on, man, percentage-wise. Do you understand that? This world cannot – now, watch this here, and look at all these corporations that are using our slave labor, McDonald's, Curry McGee, you know, different corporations is out there and using our prison industry to, you know, build their clothing factories, you know, their Estee Lauder programs and stuff. This is what I'm trying to say, y'all. Until we can get – when you talk about breaking away the bondage and freedom from slavery, from strenuous chains, massive, he's going to be mad at you, Mayor. Don't you know he's mad at the Black Panther Party? Don't you know he's mad at the new Black Panther? Don't you know he's mad at the Fred Hampton Gun Club? Don't you know even matter that any other black organization is talking about? Now, don't you know all of us are being watched by the supersonic controls of the federal government on all levels, not just the FBI? Did you know your city government where you live is also targeting you? This is when I say you, I'm not talking about you per se. I'm talking about your movement. We've always had movements. We've always had contributors to the cause. We've always fought our oppressor. We've always been manipulated by the oppressor. But now, see, back then, he could just throw us by the wayside. But now he sees that we have some of us that's orchestrated, strategizing, sitting down, mapping out plans, coming up with monumental feats and beliefs and opinions that's frightening to him. You follow what I'm saying? So now they're saying, wait a minute, these people are sincere. We got to think about this, Harry. Why don't we disrupt this group today? Why don't we disrupt that group tomorrow? So the same things that I see now, that's my aunt, that's like you and the brother while y'all listening, and others too. This is why I said, y'all, it is very important that no matter what gun club you're with, what organization you are, we have to network. We have to put aside our differences. I intend to be different from you. That's why you may be Fred Hampton. I may be Pan-African over down the street, or John may be a Huey B. Newton. But that doesn't mean that's the purpose of me being my independent. That don't mean we can't come together for a common cause, though. You have a right to go eat your hamburger. I might want to eat my damn potato chips. But hell, I don't get mad because I don't want your hamburger. Yeah, okay. But at the same time, the whole point is that we're being fed. That's what we need to look at. That need to have my independence. I might want to be Jack in the Beanstalk or whatever. But at the same time, Jack in the Beanstalk knows to come with Ruby Tuesday to sit down and say, okay, strategy number one. Okay, we're going to, this sucker going to come down the street tomorrow. All right, Jack in the Beanstalk, you're going to have to let in. Tuesday too, you're going to have to let in. Okay, then, all right. Bam. After that's all over. All right, Jack in the Beanstalk, man, I'm going to go, I guess I'll go watch some TV. All right, man, I'm going to go to the park. What did we show then? The camaraderie, the connection. It wasn't no Jack in the Beanstalk. It wasn't no Ruby. It was unity in the community. It was unity in the community. Then we went back to being Jack in the Beanstalk, Ruby Tuesday, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? I have something I like. I'm with Fred Hampton Gun Club. I have something I like. I'm with Huey B. Newton Gun Club, Marcus Garvey. It's what I'm trying to say. You have, God didn't intend for us to be straight jacketed, everybody doing the same doggone thing from the same organization. That's crazy. There's too many people for that. But he did do one thing to let us all know that no matter what's happening to you in Georgia, Philadelphia, Mississippi, I know the same thing happened to me in Oklahoma. That's what we need to focus on. Self-autonomy, self-preservation is the first law of nature. You can't get around that, no matter how you look at it. Let me give y'all a quote right quick, then I'm giving y'all the floor. From a brilliant intellectual, I like to call him intellectual at his own time, Frederick Douglass, in 1849, he said this. Listen carefully, everybody, on our radio audience. Yes, that goes to you too, Regina. Thank you. She said she's fired up one. She's going to ask you a question too, my you and the brother there. Okay. Regina, okay. We waiting on that. That's what we love. She said she can't sit still. She said some stuff. I told y'all, man, I'll say God is good. But let me say this right quick, y'all. Now listen carefully. This is what Frederick Douglass said way back in 1849. He said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did and it never will. Find out just what people will submit to, and you have found out the exact amount of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them, and these will continue to till they have resisted either with words or blows or with both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they suppress. So it's only until we continue to allow the slave master to suppress us and do us wrong, until we stand up and fight him back, then the powers that be going to continue to do as they will with us.
Hey, you know, Baba, you know, Kanye West said something really profound a little while ago when everybody got on him. He said slavery was a choice. Like, you know, we could have fought to the death, waited for reinforcements, you know what I mean? When you read that, that made me think about that. And yeah. I love Frederick Douglass, and reading his book, you know, I noticed that when his so-called slave master taught him how to read, and her husband and taught him how to read, said, "You ruin him. He won't be fit to be a slave anymore." And that's why I got a book club, the Marcus Garvey Book Club, because if we know what's going on, we won't be fit to be slaves anymore. And I think this generation, the kids that's growing up, man, they more educated than any generation before. You know what I'm saying? They know what's going on. They know what the problem is. You know what I mean? Sometimes we villainize them too much. You know what I'm saying? Because even if you look at Maya Angelou, if we'd have caught her, if she'd have died at 19 or 21, then what we'd have said about her? If Malcolm X would have died at 19 or 21, what we'd have said about him? So we have to continue to develop the youth. You know what I'm saying? Because they fear they don't think that the colonizer is our friend anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Come on,
my grandmama and them thought that they could do it. You know what I'm saying? But I remember her coming home crying and complaining about training her new manager. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I mean, are you got it? Are you got it? And like Frederick Douglass, you know, He tell a story about when they used to get leased out or whatnot because the farm he was on wasn't, you know. And then, so they get to fighting, you know what I'm saying, arguing with each other. My master prettier than your master. Or your master wife ugly. Or your master poor. And they get to throw rocks and fighting each other. You fighting each other. And they all oppressed. They could have been took the gun and took the horse and got on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what we can do today instead of arguing and feuding and fighting about this ideology or that ideology. Yeah. It's only one ideology before the black people, black liberation. You know what I mean? And, definitely. Like Garvey said, our mission is to make every member of our race be a part of this great association, because with every member of our race, association, we outnumber, I mean, it is 9 billion of us, 9.5 billion of us across the world. You know what I mean? So you get to talk about numbers, you get to talk about economics, you know what I mean? We're not trading with Africa. We're not working with Africa. You know what I'm saying? Half of Africa is 15 years old, the same age of most of the Black Panthers who joined the Black Panther Party. Why did they Black Panther Party? Because they wanted freedom, to control the destiny of their own community. Point one. Point five was they wanted an education that teaches them their true role in this decade in American society. And we're still dealing with that. And even if you jump to point seven, you know, they wanted an immediate end of the killing of black people in the black community. So why are we still fighting 60 years later talking about the same thing? Because we can't come together. Even the Black Panther Party had problems with, you said the United Slaves, but that's not what they call themselves. They call themselves us, meaning like us black folks together. You know what I'm saying? And they started in front of Queen Mother Audrey Moore, who was a Garveyite. Yes. They still kept the red, black, and the green, and that's what we got to stand hold to it. It's not a Pan-African flag, like wave around black power. This is our government flag.
With a constitution,
with a declaration of rights, and it's been ratified. And you know what I'm saying? And so if we don't go to that and follow by that, then we all going to be running around here loose like a chicken with his head cut off. And so that's why I said earlier, black power is government. Government. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have a black president, black vice president, a black, you know what I'm saying? What haven't they had as black? But we doing it for everybody else. We ain't never did it for ourselves. And why? Because we scared. We just like that plantation. I don't know if I leave this plantation. I don't know what might happen out here. I know what Mr. Charlie going to do. You know what
that's
I'm
what
saying?
And
Frederick Douglass himself, you know, after beating up that white man, he said he overpowered him. You know what I'm saying? And he ran. And after a while, he thought about it, and he had to come back. You know what I'm saying? But when we were up this plantation, if we come back, we got to come back like Nat Turner, because he ran too. And then he said, I got it in me. I got it in me. Yeah. You know, and he asked for a sign. So I don't blame religious people. I don't even, you know, fault them for believing in what they believe, because he asked for a sign from his God, and it was a total eclipse. You know what I'm saying? And he did what he had to do for the liberation of his people.
I told you, I'm all on. I'll show you. That's what I'm trying to tell you, brother. I'm not going to be mad. You, like I said, if you like hot dog, I might like a potato. Mayotte might like a pair of shoes that fly in there. My point, I'm not worried about none of that. That's your personal thing. But when it comes to unifying what we need to do, that's all that matters.
My mama make 3 pots of gumbo. I got a brother that's allergic to shellfish. I don't deal with pork, but we all eating gumbo. You know,
I just told you.
I don't mess with the crackers. You know, but some of my family like crackers.
You know? Okay, well, I'll go eat something else. You know what I'm trying to tell you? See, quit. Let's get out of that petty stuff. That's what I'm saying. That petty, useless, unnecessary stuff, man. Control. Oh, no, man. I see. Say, until we can stop and rectify the problems in our own community, man, be our own leaders, be our own engineers, mathematicians, and philosophers, stargazers in this thing, man. I'm going to tell you what I told brother. I used to stargaze. He said, man, what can you be looking up in the sky for? I said, brother, because the sky is a fascinating reality, a phenomenon. How does it sit in the air the way it does? How does the sun and the moon come out? How does the stars just set up? How does it, when the day comes, they're gone? Yeah. See, so it's a question mark. I say, I mean, it's something like it's supposed to make you curious because watch this here, y'all. Everything in the universe appreciates us because, y'all ready for this one? What need would it want to come back out to find that we're still here if it didn't like us? we never go away. When it comes out, we still wake up. When it comes out, it's already out when we get out. But when we come out, y'all ever notice how that glow hits you when you, even when it's cold? Ooh, man, it's cold out of here. I've got to put my jacket on. They're letting you know that you appreciate each other.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So, y'all, like I said, we're definitely on it. I just want to say right quick that our children, they, right now, especially our gangbangers, too, they are the most impressed of all our youth because they have heart, they have power, they have determination, but they just need to be guided in the right direction. We must let them know that the ideal, the idea is not for us to harm, hurt, and deprive one another. This is where the confusion comes in at. Let's bring these groups to the table. I'm talking about a guy that you had got into a fist fight and killed a friend of yours. Let's sit down, man. We can't bring that person back. Well, let's sit down and hey, hold up, man. Y'all put your collars down, your flags. Now, y'all talk to me and tell me what you had don't like about this person. I mean, I'm a sociologist. I got all. I'm ready. You know, I'll be doing it now as we speak. But I say to them, put them in the same room. Okay? Be bigger than something that somebody gave you. They didn't give you your intelligence. They didn't give you your personality. God gave that to you. You only adapted to all these other things that came later on. So quit letting later on roll you and control your life. I told you they're not ready, y'all. Some things, like I said, I don't just put out there all the time, but I say those things like that to draw the person's sense of reality back to the framework of what we need to do. Are you ready for this, brother, man? Ashe. You ready for this, man? And you ready for this, brother? And you ready for this, Rachel? I see you over there, Bobby. Let me tell y'all something. Did y'all know the people I just named out? Now, watch this here. Me, I, Brother Diamond, all y'all out there, y'all are revolutionaries, and you are the people that we're talking about tonight. I just waited to say this now instead of beginning in the beginning. Yes, we're talking about great pioneers of the past and present. Did y'all not hear me when I said that when I opened the show up? So I'm trying to tell y'all. You showed up, you are part of the revolution, and you are a revolutionary. So I'm not just talking about Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, and all them people. I'm talking about you, too, because the same thing that made them, to create their ideas, their identities, the same thing that made me who you are. Hello. So you got the same bread and butter. Get from the new day and time. Bam. So people going to talk about you in history, too. Okay? Keep doing what you're doing. Why would they not? I just wanted to say, y'all got the floor. I just wanted to say that.
I'll say, that's beautiful, because, I mean, my thing is that, you know, like Brother Jabari was saying, you know, the hands of the, you know, about Huey P. Newton's quote about the revolution is in the hands of the youth, and it really is, because they have the spirit, they have the energy, they have resources that we didn't have or didn't have. that they can use to spread out the message. They just need us to give them directions, you know, to what's going on and why we do what we do and why we stand for what we stand for, and really put that vision in their head of what it would look like, or it's how it's going to look like when we establish the Black Nation. And unifying in general, we have to unify. Honestly, I feel like that's required. Because, you know, even though I may believe a certain way or think a certain way, or I'm with a different organization, doesn't mean I'm not going to support because of the fact of whatever you think. Like, if we're for the people, then we're for the people. It's not about us. It's not about us, you know, building whatever we have underneath us. It's about them at the end of the day. Because if I wasn't, you know, with the organization, I am the people. I'm still the people with the organization. Part of you. I'm no better than anybody else. So we have to really look at that. You know, we have to look at the reason why we do things, the reason why we decided to be a part of whatever organization we're in, and never lose focus of why we do what we do. You know, whether it's acts of kindness, whether it's on the political side, whether it's on the firearm and defensive side, or even the educational, you know, portion of the revolution, which that's a very big part of it, you know. But we have to unify on those things in order to make a unified front, you know. And my thing, it's going to be casualties of war. I don't care if you identify, you know, if you're not going to be a part of the program, you know, part of the revolution, a part of the movement to push us to true independence and true freedom that our ancestors and our former revolutionaries fought for, then, you know what I mean? That's a casualty where you can choose to still be in the loop, in this matrix that they've created for us, or you can break free. And that's true freedom right there, where you can call your own shots and make your own moves, you know, I'm worried about the white man paying me. I'm finna worry about the white man ain't gonna do nothing for you. He ain't gonna do nothing for you. He put these things, and the crazy part about it is they put these, they put all these resources out here and make them accessible now, more than now, at this very moment, more than ever, because they've already programmed us to feel like we need to stay in this box. And we're not thinking outside of that to take advantage of what the heck they put for us. And I'm not saying, you know, every resource is for us, but I'm just saying they leave things accessible to us to liberate ourselves, to break free from them. You know, they just feel like, hey, you know, we've already done enough programming. They're not going to look into it. They're not going to pay attention. Already think we don't read. They already think that we won't read through contracts. We don't study. We don't pay attention to things. All we're gonna do is get a high school education, and then we're just gonna stop. You know, like that's how they truly feel about it. So really pay attention and really understand what's going on out here. The climate, you know, of being a Black woman or a Black man, because we have to impact our youth, you know, in a way. We have to come at them where they're at, you know what I mean? We have to address them where they're at, and we have to educate and liberate their minds before they get to, you know, tarnishing, you know, the vision, you know what I mean?
You're right on, but hey, Brother Jabbar.
I was just thinking about what Fred Hampton had said. He was like, I am a revolutionary. I am the people, not the pig. You know, We have to say it. We have to affirm it and mean it. You know what I mean? And with that, we can change the culture. You know what I'm saying? Seeing living examples of revolutionaries would change people and want them to be more revolutionary. I remember when I was growing up, I didn't see no examples of real men. The men that I seen was the ones that stood in front of the corner asking for change and not doing nothing with their life. So, you know what I mean? So by saying and affirming it, it's changing the culture. See, a few years ago, a five-year-old boy got shot in a drive-by. And so the community cried out like, man, you out here, we hear about you drive-by shooting down to a crowd. You better hope that the police catch you and not the people. Yeah. So it's not, you know what I'm saying, we changed the culture of it. I mean, we can't tell people not to feud and fight and put all the guns down. I mean, that fast, but if y'all gonna have problems, then make sure nobody innocent or nobody that's not involved gets hurt. So we changed the culture there right here. You know what I'm saying? In Oakland. And that's what we have to do through our music and through our actions, because you know what I'm saying? You know how they say you can show somebody better than you can tell them. They listen to what they see, not what they hear. And so you talk about people coming together. When we came to Tulsa, that was like 15 different formations that came together from different, different generals. And so, you know what I mean? We're working towards that right now. You know what I'm saying? We come up with memorandums of understanding. We working with all any group under red, black, and green who have it, you know what I'm saying? Who have it, you know, committed perjury against their race. You know what I mean? We want to accept all of y'all. You know what I'm saying? All of us. Yeah. We don't think that our ideas are the best ideas or the only ideas. You know what I mean? Like, we believe that we are the ancestors, though. So, you know, in a few years, because we write history as we walk, in a few years, our grandkids don't. Going to be reading what we doing today in
come
the
on,
newspapers.
Man.
And they're going to come when they're going to say, well, Grandpa, Grandma, what did you do? And what is your response going to be? You know what I mean? That's what we need to be thinking. Yeah, what are we going to say to our kids?
Now, y'all want to know a good book that I like for all y'all to read. I don't know if y'all got it already, brother. But Jabari, I don't know you or brother sister me yet, but listen carefully. Here's a good book. Again, I'm also writing my own book on it. I'm taking notes of it. But Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys, Brother Joanna Kanjufu. Whew, boy, that is deep. Just like what you just said, because it tells our young children how they're being poisoned and manipulated through the school systems, how they're being taught to disobey the families when they go home, how they're taught to argue against mama and daddy. Man, when y'all see the information in this book, y'all will say, damn, man, this is real. But it's like I say, it's Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys, Brother Jawanza, J-A-W-A-N-Z-A, Kanjufu, K-U-N-J-U-F-U. Woo! Boy, he's deep on that.
And then he say, you know, the conspiracy to kill black boys is because by the time we become men, you know, it's too hard for them then, so let's just get them in their youth.
Man.
You know, why easy the man, he's a dope brother. He's from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
He got another one, Black Economics, too. I love that book also.
Yeah,
that's
man.
The thing, man. That's what they doing to us, man. We sending our people to the slaughterhouse. But they sending their kids to the gun shop. You know what I'm saying? You see that little boy just shot up the whole school with his Christmas present before Christmas?
Yeah.
So not only did he get a gun for Christmas, he shoots up his class before Christmas even happens. But we scared to teach our kids about weapons, you know what I mean? And that's crazy because we're going to shelter them and the rest of the world is dangerous.
Wow, man. Wow. And as you see it today, too, man, like you just said, brother and Sister Mayette, both of y'all, as you see out there today, man, every time we get caught with our hands clear, we get shot down, police or whatever. Man, let me tell you, I'm not advocating busting them suckers upside head. But boy, if you feel like they're going to get you first, you're going to take off first, man, because it's coming to that point, y'all. I'm telling you. It's coming to the point. I'm just going to tell you, man. I'm not advocating violence or nothing, but let me tell you something. If you see that you're going to be plugged first, do the unplugging. Bottom line, man. I mean, because like I said, so we're tired of being the guinea pig, man. We're tired of being a sacrificial lamb. You know, it's not going to be no more of that, man.
You know, Dr. King preached that, nonviolence, nonviolence, and he died violently. But you think about Robert F. Williams, who got kicked up out of the NAACP later on he wrote the book Negroes with Guns, and he died of natural causes in his old age. You know what I mean? Who taught us to arm ourselves? Who taught us to start gun clubs? Who taught us how to sandbag your house just in case you get attacked by the enemy?
And
paying it safe never got you nowhere.
Man, look here, man. Let me tell you something. Like the brother said the other night, I'm an ex-felon. Boy, you're going to have to catch me with it because, like I said, you ain't going to catch me without it because I'm a damn fool if you do. And I don't blame you. I understand what he's saying, man. Y'all got to realize that it's coming to that point because the white supremacists are coming out right in your face now, right at the stoplight, at the gas station. Them people don't care no more, man. I'm telling y'all. That's that foolery because they're raised like y'all just said. In the gun ranges and all, when they're babies, they have targets shooting black faces in the target practices and all. I'm telling y'all, man, I've seen it on different videos and things, man. Them people there are them lunatics, man. I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all might as well get ready.
I say.
And guess what? I say. Go ahead, sis. I'm telling y'all, man.
Oh, they're turning their kids really, really young, like 6 and 7. And, you know, how to shoot and how to kill.
Yes.
They take their kids out to hunt. So they already know and they're already proficient in firearms before they become.
Get out of here.
So that's one thing, like, you know, don't be scared to train your children really early or to tell them about, you know, firearms in general. Because they're, you know, that's what they're going up against when they become adults. Those children are going to turn into adults, and then now they are going to be going to face those white supremacy raised children that are being, you know, put out here. So that's my biggest thing, you know, don't train yourself as much as possible and train your children and make them proficient in it, even if they are, it's to your discretion when your child is ready to actually fire a firearm. I will say that, but you know when they're ready. You know, keep introducing it to them. Keep telling them about it. Keep about it. Just as if
you
would do anything, that
Amen.
Should be something a requirement.
I say, go ahead on. But now, see what you just said, man.
Hey, I never forget that scene in Rosewood, man, where the boy was like,
Rosewood,
big boy can shoot. He said, big boy gonna shoot. You know what I mean? They was slaughtering him, and that little boy had to shoot to get the family up out of that situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Come on, man. Come on, man. You know what? The biggest trouble in our homes, they say, little Johnny got to the gun, he shot his little brother. Well, that's because they didn't have the fire training or anything, man. But if you train him beforehand, little Johnny know not to shoot his brother because he's not his enemy. I'm trying to tell you, they have just had a gun laying around the house, and they pick it up because they see mom and daddy shooting it. But if the child already 4 or 5 years old, I know that they only pick that gun up if somebody hurt my family, my mama and daddy, somebody breaking in my house. You have to train that child, train up a child away to go and not depart from you. That's why you have the trouble in them homes and people killing them stuff because they're not training them babies. Kids know not to mess with something. Your brother or something mad at you. Okay, y'all want to go in and fight? Okay, y'all going to fist fight? Go on in, man. Get out of my face. Y'all going in and fight. When you get through, let me know. Don't treat them like to be no goddamn, excuse my friends, or sissies or whatever. Yeah, the whole train a child away to go and not be apart from you. You know how to let them kill each other, but at the same time, y'all, I'll tell you, when I was growing up, me and my brother got to fight them. Man, look, I don't fight in here. You hit too damn hard. I'll talk to you later on. You know, but after a while, we were growing up like that. You know what I mean? But, I mean, my mother used to let us fight like that. Like I said, long we wouldn't stab each other, none of us. She'd, oh, man, y'all get out of here. I'm going to store you. Y'all feel it when I get back over. But, you know, man, sometimes you just have to. You have to let the children be themselves. You know, I say, let me tell y'all, the fight is on. The revolution is on. And I guarantee y'all, man. Rachel, she wanted to ask you, what was the final, let me put my earplugs. Hold on, let me see what she asked again. What did you ask again? What was the, she just wanted to know, what was it that took, it was the last straw for you to know that you had to get into the Fred Hampton Gun Club. And was that the first club you got into or what?
What drew me to be a part of the revolution, I had I had went down to Tulsa, and that was like what, last year when they we did the march, or when everybody did the march, or the format came down here in Tulsa, and I saw a good representation, a great representation of Black Power. Previously, like right before that had happened, I was dealing with some things on my job, you know, some racial stuff, meaning, you know, far as being discriminated against, you know, being prejudged. Also, you know, people, you know, just kind of, you know, dampering who I am as a person, being a Black person, and kind of making racial comments and all those things. And not only seeing that, you know, seeing the climate out here as a Black person, they're not going to look at me and be like, you know what, she's going to be successful, or, you know, she's worth anything. They're looking for me to be on the streets and doing all of this stuff, no good at all. So I had already had that mindset of this is how they truly view us. So me coming down to Tulsa and seeing that representation of Black Power and really standing up for everyone here, they didn't know. I don't believe that any of those formations knew anybody here in general, but they didn't know how much power that they were displaying to us Oklahomans, you know, as far as, you know, all across Oklahoma, of how much power we actually do have. So I was inspired to join with another organization, and I formally last year moved over to the Fred Hampton Gun Club because it, you know, fit me a little bit more. I can attend to, you know, the needs of Oklahoma a lot better being with the organization that I'm in. So that's why I say, like, you know, get with an organization that is going to highlight what you're going to do for the community. Not everybody's talent or gift is just in one area. And, you know, we can still do the same things and empower our people, but in different ways. So different organizations highlight that. But I was inspired to change when I saw my other brothers and sisters and comrades in general that I'm now associated with actually display what Black Power really is, and really protecting Black Power. So
She wants you to give her your information again too.
Okay. You can find me on Fred Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma City. You can message that or comment or any under any of the posts, and I'll get back to you. You could also find me by name, Maya Akia Yeaboa, on Facebook.
It's
spelled M-A-A-T. My middle name is Akia, A-K-E-E-A. And last name is Yeaboah, Y-E-B-O-A-H. And just message me and then let me know who you are, and I'll stay in contact.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do, y'all. We're trying to – Brother Jabbar, you got some – unique stuff going on too. I don't want to leave you out because I got a brother Daniel wanted to ask who you are and what you do. I told you I was just putting him on last year.
Yeah, so to try to answer that question, I mean, I've been conscious for a long time. My father changed his name to Jabbari Ali when he was young, and so that's what they named me. So I've been conscious of who I was for a long time. When I was 10 years old, I seen Nelson Mandela come to Oakland, California and speak. You know what I mean? My grandma dressed me up in the dashiki, and we went to see him speak after he got out of prison. When I was 12, we read the autobiography of Malcolm X as part of my class, and we went to go see the movie. The whole Oakland Public School District went to go see the movie. So that's when I was kind of introduced to Marcus Garvey, and I wanted to be Muslim because my idea of being Muslim was to be revolutionary back then. But, you know, just getting caught up, you know, in life and everything through my adolescence and teenage years. I ran the streets and did this and that. So, but it wasn't until when I got caught up and went to prison. I went to San Quentin. I didn't know. This is where George Jackson did his time at and was executed.
Yeah, he
at.
Killed
but
her.
When I
yeah.
went there, I thought racism was a thing of the past until I went to the pen. But we all be in line, and then the whites can get served by the whites over here and the blacks served by the blacks over here. When it's time to go sit down, we couldn't sit down. You know what I'm saying? We had to sit with blacks. You know what I mean? And something had happened between some blacks and Mexicans in the prison, and they didn't care about who was part of the gang or who it mm-hmm. did what. They just started attacking black people. So it mm-hmm. didn't matter that I wasn't part of BGF or whatever gangs that was in prison at the time. They just attacked black people. When I noticed that, mm-hmm. you know what yep. I mean? I had a white partner I tried to give a piece of cake to, and the white people was going to attack him for trying to take the cake from me. So it was like
wow.
the race consciousness, it started hitting me real hard. At the time that I was there, they executed Stanley
yeah.
Tookie Williams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Harry
yeah.
O was on the yard. Harry O was the man that started Death Row. So all this
yeah.
talk of being African and what we need to do, and we made a pledge to go back and try to rebuild the communities that we destroyed. This is what we did. Is Tookie got assassinated. So
mm-hmm.
I enrolled into Laney College from San Quentin. So when I got out, within 2 weeks, I was going to the community college. While I was going to the community college, the Laney College, y'all might hear about Merritt College, the Panthers College, a lot. But when they shut that down, they moved it up to the hills. So the regular people couldn't really get there no more. Laney is right in the middle of the community. Like in 1971, they
mm-hmm.
they voted for Angela Davis to be what's the name? Prom queen or whatnot. They marched around with her thing. She was in prison at the time. So it was like
yeah.
really revolutionary.
Yeah.
I started working with some of the original Black Panthers there. We threw
yeah.
birthday parties for Bobby Thiel, worked with
yeah.
Emory Douglas,
yeah.
Billy X, and just knowing the culture.
Yeah.
And but they made us do
Come
political
on,
education, read the books and all of that. So it was
yeah.
2009 when Oscar Grant got killed that it was like, we can't be armchair revolutionaries just talking about what they did
no,
back in
man.
The day.
You have to get up.
So we moved to the ground. And they moved this trial, the trial from when they killed Oscar Grant from Oakland to L.A. So some of us, we was in the Black Student Union. I was president of the Black Student Union at the time. And so if you say the N-word or the B-word, you'd have to pay a dollar or whatnot. So somehow
mm-hmm.
we had like $249, and we took that little money and we drove to L.A. and spent the whole trial there. While there, we connected
right.
with the Black Riders Liberation Party, and we decided we was going to make that, you know, L.A. to the Bay connection, Northern California, Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so I've been
Freedom Black Riders,
Black Riders
yeah.
Liberation Party. Yes, sir, for a long time, and we've been advocating for armed self-defense. You know, we've been advocating for political education, doing watching pig programs where we run up on the cars and to legal distance and observe what the police is doing. And a lot of times they let the brothers go because they don't want all the extra controversy. You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Weapons, training in jiu-jitsu, other art forms, you know. A lot of times we recruiting out of prison because
yeah.
that's where we started off. In prison with brothers, it was a gang truce back in 91, you know, and then so in 96 it
yeah.
progressed, and my general and other brothers was locked up, and they made a gang truce after watching the Black Panther movement.
Amen.
And started reading and doing more. And so,
as
brothers came home, they started organizing on the streets, and it's a continuous cycle. It's the same as Malcolm. We all the children and grandchildren of Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? Because we see how he ran to change his life in prison. And
yeah.
we believe that we had the most revolutionary minds because we've been in the deepest part of this dunya. You know what I mean? We've been tested you know, at the worst level. The brothers,
I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. Hold on, I got to get ready to cut you off. You can hold that point. Let me get out there. And like I say, we still going to be in my back room, so stay where you are, but I got to get us off here so I can let people know what our next program is going to be in or whatever. And then, hold on, give me about, because I got about 2.5 minutes. I'm sorry, just a second. All right, y'all. Y'all heard it tonight. We are talking about the Black pioneers who deserve recognition for their service to humanity. We want to thank Brother Jabari and, of course, my always talented sister, Mayat, my co-host, who's been a
host with the most as well as myself. Tomorrow, y'all, as we just talked about, we're going to be giving y'all some of the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution. We're going to give you the ins and outs and the hidden sinister meanings of what the 13th Amendment to the Constitution really meant to us as African Americans here in the Western Hemisphere of Northern America. Also, this coming Saturday, we're going to be talking about Will the Real Revolutionaries Please Stand Up, Part 2. So if you're a revolutionary out there, no matter if you stand for a gun club, if you stand on your own independence, if you stand for family, I mean, get on the show because this is a family show with you in mind. We run nothing here. Your ideas count. Your thoughts count. Your revolutionary mind, whatever the case is, you have no right or wrong. I might like a potato chip. You might like a hamburger. But like once I tell all my show, I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what you like or I like as long as we get food. So in other words, brother, hey, let's put the mustard and the sauce and the meat in between the bread and let's eat, y'all. So again, we want to thank y'all again. And again, if y'all have a show idea for the show, you can always hit me up at area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. Just let us know, and we're going to definitely get you in on the program because this is your show. If you feel like you want to talk about it, as long as it's genuine, long as it's talking about something revolutionary or historic, if it's talking about education, denying, whatever the case is, we want you to come on because without you, we're nothing. So I want to say y'all here, thank y'all very much. We're getting ready to go off there in about 40 seconds, and those of us who want to remain in our back room, we have about 15 minutes left on that. So again, y'all, we'll see y'all tomorrow night as well. One love, one peace, one mind. Again, Oklahoma City, Baba Wetapa, Father of Many Nations, here with my co-host, Mayotte. Everybody, we thank you so much, and y'all be blessed because without y'all, we wouldn't be able to make it. Thank y'all for tuning in. Mayotte, you got a last word you want to say to the audience? You got about 20 seconds.
Okay. Everybody be blessed. Also, you know, pay attention to your surroundings and
yes.
Really get community. Really get out here, put boots on the ground, do what you need to do for, you know, the people and for yourself, you know. And always, like I said, always pay attention because everything is changing. And as soon as you identify with being a revolutionary and you put your foot down, you know, you're going to have to protect the building.
I see. All right, brother Jabari, now where were you? You were saying something. I had to cut you off there because now we're out there. Now we're in the back room now. So go ahead. You can finish with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. It's extensive, man. I mean, it's levels to it. I tried to be a socialist. I worked with the communists, you know, like being in the college, they sent them all up there, you know.
What's wrong with that?
Actually, when we did Occupy, well, the thing is, you know, it's about inclusion to everybody and it's not African. You know, if you have to put black in front of something, you have to question what it is. You have to say, I'm a black Christian. I'm a black Muslim. I'm a black communist. I'm a black socialist. It's like, no, wait, hold on. Let's think about what all this is. And then the major contradictions, because I know the Panther Party was into the, you know, scientific socialism, Marxist Leninism, and all of that. But 2012, when we had Occupy Oakland was going on, and people separated themselves, and when we all out here in tents in front of City Hall, and people separated themselves, and we had to start a POC, a people of color committee, and then we started doing Occupy the Hood. Yeah, so it was some splits and divisions in that, and it's always been splits and divisions in the movement. Think about Ida B. Wells. You know, they told her she couldn't march with the white women, and she did all that work. She had to run all the way to the front of the march. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I got tired of running to the front of the march to be seen with these, you know, other people, you know, and so when I need to look to the people that I love, but when I got into that car crash in 2015.
Oh, man, sorry to hear that.
You know, the FBI and the U.S. Marshals got behind me. They said that they thought that I was a murder suspect, ran my car, crashed into a bus. Yeah, man, and then they let me go. But this is like a couple weeks after we did the Michael Brown protest. So since they killed Michael Brown.
Right.
So it's been levels to it. But when I found Garveyism, it's like listening. It woke everything that was in me. It wasn't that I was learning too much new, but it woke everything that I knew. You know what I mean? And so it's nothing better than Garveyism. But I didn't want to take up too much time, but I did have an idea for another show. I actually talked with some brothers. We got a Black Panther that went to jail for murder, was real close to Chip Fitzgerald, some brothers from the Black August Movement, and Prison Focus. And we could talk about the prison movement, what happened with George Jackson, and the struggle right now to liberate our elders, like Suniata Okoye, Rochelle McGee. So I got a couple of people from all of them. Yeah, so we working towards that right now actively and on the committee. One of our elders, one of them did 32 years in the hole in Pelican Bay, and another one actually shot a pig, but the police, you know, ambushed him and was shooting. They didn't know it was the police, so that he ended up only doing like 8 years for manslaughter and came home. So, like, he could tell his story, and we could tell what we doing to liberate the elders this year. We got a bunch of people released because of the COVID here in California.
And we
active.
Shay, you got something, Mayotte, you want to add to that? I mean, yeah, we here. Like I said, we got about 10 more minutes, y'all. They're going to cut me off. But go ahead. Y'all got it. I mean, hey, this is something.
I would say the idea just because, you know, their stories impact ones that are already in, and also families that have dealt with that, you know, because that's another part of the revolution. You know, they want to lock us up and put us away and do whatever they want with us, you know, us and liberate our people. So really that following this broadcast, the one that we just had, this one following the broadcast we just had, will be a good idea. It will be a great idea because now you see how they try to stop revolution from continuing to impact generations, you know, ahead of it, you know, that are coming up. So that's my.
You got to think, Baba. Ain't none of us free until all our political prisoners are free. We're free in America, but we got political prisoners.
Hey, we are not free until every ounce of every speck of our people who look like us are no longer on the auspices of the control of the powers that be. I don't care if five of us over here and only one is over there. What Jesus say? I got all y'all in already corralled. I'm going after that one that's missing and bring him home because then I have all y'all here. See, so that's what my mind says. You know what I mean? Because like I said, if we stop, the revolution stops. Because that one is going to just cause upheaval because you know you're going to be mad. You find that he did, hurt, or whatever. Then you're going, oh, man, let's go and kill all these suckers. Come on. So rather than go through all of that, bring him on home, get him or her off the street, pull her inside, and then and let me scare y'all right quick. The ones that don't want to come, did y'all hear what I just said? Bottom line, we're going to have to take them out, man. I mean, I'm just going to tell y'all. Yeah, I'm just going to call. We're not going to let them. I'm just telling you, man. I mean, you want a revolution? I told you I'm a Pan-African. Some things I have to say things that's shocking to people. You know what I mean? Sometimes I try to hold some things, but some things you just have to put out there. Somebody I know can kind of. Hey, and then one brother said, "Woo, that's right." Jacob said, "Woo."
And you know why they don't want to let our elders free? Because you think about when Geronimo Pratt got out, he went back to Tanzania. He built a water well for the people that they still using today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when they liberate these elders, they've been sitting behind bars thinking for a long time of what they can do to liberate us. But we've been caught up in this heat or caught up in this rat race. We've been in this rat race. So when you think about the Black think tank, you know, actually the mother who started the Black think tank is from Oklahoma, Dr. Julia Hare.
Yeah,
she rests in peace, the ancestor elder.
Yeah,
she started the Black think tank out here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we got to have that. You know, we stay in the struggle, and it's hard for us to think it out. But that white man, you know, he's 24 and some multiplied and know how to keep it there.
Let me tell y'all something, though, brother. I'm going to tell y'all something, man. Y'all listen closely here. Let me tell y'all something. We got to make this United States united to where we can bring our sister, Ashanti Shakur, back home, man. She's been over there in exile, prayed to come home because she knows what's going to happen. Man, we got to get this thing straight. I mean, that beautiful sister's been over there in Cuba right now. and is doing her thing, man. You know, Asada Shakur. I'm sure y'all probably heard of her. She's not gonna lay down and take it. She's a former Black Panther. You know what I mean? She's up in age now, but you know they want to get her because they said she killed a police officer. She left the state. Yeah, he was trying to rape her. She's another fuck. Let me tell you, bam, punk ass. Who really? And she took off, but they won. So we trying to reach our revolutionary sister, let her know you need to come on home, but not
they,
right
they
now.
Killed Tupac, they killed Tupac's uncle in that shootout, too.
Yeah.
Shakur, that was Tupac's uncle. And so, man, and a lot of times when they talk about Asada Shakur, they don't talk about her partner. You know, she had a child, a daughter, and the man, her baby daddy's name was Kamal Siddiqui. So he ain't got caught in another situation. So they told him to lure her to American soil so they can arrest her or he'll spend the rest of his life in jail. Needless to say, he's still in jail. You know what I mean?
Believe it. They warned her. Go ahead. Y'all got about 6 minutes. Go ahead.
Saying they believe in their lies. They try to give you deals from they just trying to get you and another person.
We got to get past that house Negro and field Negro. You know, sometimes the house Negro in the best position, the poison the master. You know what I mean? And we can just all get on the same page.
Oh man, you know what, y'all? I get, like I said, with the show, we getting inspired. More people, like I said, coming from all over in Denver and various people. They got ideas for the show and all. I mean, some of them has actually said they appreciate the fact that People Power Radio has suddenly come on air. And that matter of fact, they said this is the show that they had been longing for so many years, and they can't wait till the next one comes. They vowed to be on every show. And then, like I said, some of those that I had been letting get on the show, I'm trying to work it out with the program directors here to where I can kind of pull those in, because, you know, you can only let those you put on your in your studio speak. So y'all in the studio right now, that's only y'all able to speak. So we'll be able to get those in, and where if we don't have it full, like then we can probably try to draw them in. So he said he can probably try to work some out on that, because a lot of people out there, man, they just want to say something, and they just, like when they tell me, ask y'all questions and all, man, these people here are interested because we're giving them a foundation from which to, you know, begin a struggle that they didn't know even existed. You know, so we're doing our part, man. You know, if we can save one, hey, that's that one we don't have to worry about being trampled on or being destroyed or, you know, vacated. You know, so,
you know,
hey,
what
I think,
you know what I think personally, I don't, when I look at, you know, liberating one Black person, I think, you know, you're liberating more than one Black person, because if you liberate somebody's mom, liberate, them as a person and educate them about things and, you know, help them to see the vision, you're opening up a vision for other people too, because guess what they're going to do? They're going to tell them the same thing that you told them, and they're going to tell it from their point of view to somebody else, and that somebody else, it's a chain effect.
Amen. You scored it. No, you're right, but see, yeah, me, I got you're absolutely on point. See, when you say that one great mind, watch this here. That one great mind is going to be able to reach the other two that you couldn't reach, and then the other three or four he couldn't reach, and that's how it goes. You know, the cycle continues. That's the whole point. You know, just like you have somebody in your circle, you know, I say, hey man, or brother Jabari, hey, bring brother his sister with you. Bring sister. Well, I couldn't bring her with me because, like I say, they don't have that trust in me. So what I'm trying to tell y'all, if each one teach one, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. So we bring the people in. Once we teach that person's going to be able to teach something that we can. But watch this here. It's got to come all the way back around and say, we started it all. That's what's important. That's what's important right there, that they don't forget the tree that bear the fruit. Y'all have heard the term that the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree? So let's make that tie in then. Let's make that recognition count. The fruit does not fall from the tree, far from the tree. That's symbolically meaning that no matter where the fruit goes, its limbs are reproducing, the next one's going to fall right beside. And that's what it's all about with us, y'all, producing the next king and queen, not followers. I don't want a follower following me. I want a king and queen that's taking a manner in leadership, so when I do pass the baton over to them, that they can pass it on to the next one after me, because we're not going to be here forever, y'all. Think about it.
Oh, shit.
Let's do what we need to do. And guess what? Your names, like the name that we've been talking about, will remain in history. There's simply no way around it because, let me tell you something, you might kill the person, but you can never kill the idea.
I say.
Think about it. Y'all, we got 3 minutes, so y'all just go ahead. I just wanted to say that. I mean, I appreciate y'all. I mean, I tell you what, I get inspired, man, every time we have it. I'm ready for the 13th Amendment tomorrow. I'm ready for Revolutionary Part 2. Revolutionary, will you please come forward, Part 2 Saturday? Oh, man, y'all, we had the lines lit up the other night. They waiting on that show. And y'all, like I said, brothers, brother James and Tamiko, they had obligation on another show tonight, so we definitely appreciate those brothers. We want to try to get that show. Oh, let me tell you, Brother Jabbar, I meant to say this here. Do you have a Facebook page? Brother Jabbar?
I don't know. Did he get off?
No, he's still here. He lit up. He probably
I had it on mute. My bad. It's
okay.
Jabari Shaw, Jabari Shaw on Facebook.
Okay, that's why I wanted to know. I'm going to befriend you. So now watch this here, y'all. What we're going to do, too, is if it's all right with y'all, is not, and we don't have to get on every time, every night and all that, but we need to create a Zoom so we can do this show live and stuff so people can see our faces, too, man, and what we're doing. You know what I mean? And that'll draw more people in on Facebook, Instagram, and stuff like this here. I just got that idea a while ago because we can always do the show just that we'll do it live and more people want to come on and watch this here. Brother Jabbar, within the next couple of weeks, I want you to give me a storyline for the next program we're going to do because we're going to do the Fred Hampton Gun Club with Mayotte probably within 2 weeks. And then after that, because like I said, we already got some added for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. So you give me an idea for a show, and then you invite those who come in on it, and let's just spread it out, brother. Tell me about Chicago up in there. I want to hear about all the things that are going on, not just the killings and murders. I know some good things going on up there, so I want to hear that part too. Do you hear me? It ain't just about the bad.
I'm in Oakland, California.
I want to hear about the good. Yeah, I want to hear about the good and bad. No, I don't just want to hear about no bad. Let me hear about the good. Who the black entrepreneurs are now? Who the black mayors or whatever? You know what I mean? What black kids are painting the walls out there? You know what I mean? I want everybody to see. It's not about just all the negativity, y'all. Because we want to tie it all in. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, but I got the Zoom right now. We got a little meeting I have to get to now.
Okay.
But I appreciate you.
Okay.
And, yeah, but
yes,
I look
sir.
Forward to continue to build, you know?
Yes, brother.
Yeah,
we're going to build one of those. I say. All right, brother. You get good night. You have one for night now. I say. One love.
All right, you too. Race first.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah, Maya, we got about a minute and a half here anyway, so, oh, man, this is, man, Maya, I tell you, we can't be held back, Maya, they got to move over.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Well, we moving.
Maya. We ain't stopping either.
No, Maya. These people here, they see we mean business.
About 30 seconds,
get ready to come on. But they see you now. I'll send you a good note tonight and have a nice, peaceful night and wake up tomorrow, do what you need to do. And the snow, let me tell you something, the snow is out there for a reason, gave you a little bit more time to stay home, get more reading and studying. That way you won't be as distracted. That's what I've been doing all day, studying for the last couple of days hard. Get ready to come out. I'll talk to you in a little bit. I'll see.
All right.